It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. This is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And the 2021 basketball season's here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, has rolled out another one of their can't-miss offers. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new players 100-to-1 odds on any featured matchup this week. That's right. All you have to do is bet $1 on any featured matchup this week, and if your team wins, you cash $100. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up to get 100-to-1 odds on any featured matchup this week. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number two. That means we welcome in Ross Tucker for Tucker's Tape. Ross, welcome in and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Yeah, likewise, Jim. Merry Christmas to you, your family as well. And I'm glad we at least have one more game to talk about. Unfortunately, it sounds like we won't have more than that, but I'm glad to be able to break down one last game from this season with you.
All right, well, let's get right to it. You reviewed the tape. Let's start with Jahan Dotson. How good was he this game? And, I mean, what effect does that have on his draft status, a single game like this?
It's a great point. He has had an outstanding season, and he had a terrific game, obviously. You know, I swear, Jim, he's gotten faster the last couple of years. He did not look this fast his freshman year or even last year. I mean, think about when he got the ball last year compared to when KJ Hamler got the ball last year. It didn't really even seem, you know, close, right? I mean, it didn't even seem like they were in the same stratosphere. But Dotson looked like lightning this year. So I'm really happy for him. He's a Pennsylvania kid. You know, think about the success Penn State's had with the Pennsylvania kids. I mean, Journey Brown would have been a first-round pick. Micah Parsons going to be a first-round pick. Michael Mennett will get drafted. Jahan Dotson, if he leaves school, will get drafted. And, you know, we'll have time, I guess, Jim, over the next couple weeks to talk about, you know, some of these decisions that these guys might make. I just think if you're Jahan Dotson, he's not a very big guy, and we had similar conversations, if I remember, about KJ Hamler. And if you're Jahan Dotson, you know, he's 5'11", 182 pounds. And I think the question is, well, what would he do next year that he didn't do this year? Like, what would he do better? Now, I will say this, because of the year he had, he certainly would have more hype going into next year, right? Like he'd be preseason all Big Ten, and he'd be talked about as one of the top wide receiver prospects for the draft and all of that stuff, right? Whereas coming into this year, that wasn't really the case. I think what he'll do and what he should do is he should get a feel for about where they think he'd be drafted. Because the thing is there's a lot of, there's a lot, again, Jim, of good wide receivers in this draft, you know? So I don't think he's going to go ahead of Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle or some of these other guys. So I think that's something that he'll keep in mind. But this is a very good wide receiver class. Again, there's a lot of really talented guys. So I think maybe he'll look at that. I would still think that he probably would leave and that would probably be the right decision. He is silky smooth, clearly. Love the way he runs his routes. Really showed a burst and some run after the catch ability this year. And, you know, even showed some return ability. But if you look at it, you know, he wasn't even listed among the top 15 wide receivers coming into the year. I mean, you're talking about Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Rondell Moore, Rashad Bateman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tylan Wallace. So I really think he needs to think about it and see where he would go, because I think a lot of these guys, you know, even Kadarius Toney from Florida and Trayvon Grimes, I mean, North Carolina, Sage Surratt from Wake Forest, Amari Rock, there's a lot of them, Jim. So I think maybe I can totally see the idea of him going, but I also think, man, maybe he would be better served to come back one more year and to be thought of as one of the top guys going into the year.
Well, we will be talking about that quite a bit over the next several weeks, Ross. I did want to ask you, going to the other side of the ball, the defense, watching the first quarter of this game, it was like watching that team that was 0-5, lack of tackling. And then all of a sudden, they flipped the switch and they were a different team from the second quarter on. What happens when you see that?
It's a good question, and I'm not sure that there's a great answer, Jim. I think Illinois did some good things, certainly. There was some poor tackling. You know, the one touchdown, Brandon Smith missed a tackle in the open field. Now, credit to Brandon because he was able to make a couple plays later. But Brandon Smith missed a tackle in the open field, and the guy took it to the house for Illinois. They obviously also had a really athletic quarterback who was impressive. But as you saw in my notes I wrote down, Jim, the run defense and the tackling was atrocious. I mean, absolutely atrocious. And it's strange in week 9 for that to still be the case. You know what I mean? You can say whatever you want about, oh, they didn't have training camp and they didn't have this. You get to week 9, there should not be tackling issues like that. And your run defense should not be getting run over like that. Certainly not by Illinois, the barely fighting Illini. That was really disappointing. Thankfully, they were able to push through it and get better. I don't have an answer for how it seemed like they flipped the switch, other than I do think, Jim, when Penn State had a big lead, then more and more Illinois started to throw the ball. And then they brought in Peters, and he's not very good. You know, when they got behind by 3 scores, they kind of gave up trying to run the rock and win the game that way. And they obviously, they struggle throwing the football.
One other thing that I noticed, Ross, in this game and through the season in this 4-game winning streak, it seems like a lot of the things that we were complaining about in the first 5 games did start to become fixed, if that's the right way to put it. I'm looking at the offensive line. Everyone was so critical of them early in the year. All of a sudden, you have the offensive line taking over games. The running game is working. And you notice 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1. Remember how big a bugaboo that was early in the year? How did that all get fixed? How did the offensive line improve this way?
It's a good question. By the way, how about them going for it on 4th-and-3?
I love that.
That was awesome. That was absolutely awesome. So I think a couple things, Jim. I think they really figured out that – put the offensive line to the side for a second. I think they really figured out that Kayvon Lee was their guy for short yardage running at the running back position. Even though he's only a true freshman, he's got that lower body power and that bulk. So they found the right runner. Because if you remember, I think Kayvon maybe got hurt, but ever since Noah Cain, remember that guy? It's unbelievable how these guys get hurt and you almost forget. But, you know, ever since Noah Cain got hurt, you know, it wasn't really Devin Ford's deal. He's not really a great short yardage runner. So some of their issues earlier in the season were using Devin Ford, I thought, and Holmes and other people on short yardage when Lee is better at that. That's number one. Number two, I think they realize what a weapon Levis can be in those situations. Having an extra blocker, and Levis is like a hammer. you know, with his physical ability. So I think they realized that as well, that that was a big part of it, because it seemed like he just converts, man. He found a way to get it and get a lot of those done. And then the offensive line certainly played better. I think, you know, a lot of that was just getting a better feel for Kirk Shiraka's plays, Kirk Shiraka's game plan, Phil Troutwine's techniques. And if you remember, Jim, I was pretty consistent all offseason that that was a real concern for me regarding, you know, the offensive line not having any of those offseason practices, having to go ahead and be ready to go, you know, having to go ahead and be ready to perform week one Indiana, week two Ohio State, without really having very much time learning Troutwine's techniques.
Well, it's obvious that that has gotten much better. That's great to see. Another player I wanted to ask you about, though, Ross, is Lamont Wade. You and I have both been pretty critical of his play at safety. He looks like an All-American, though, at returning kicks. Where's that been all season?
You know, I don't know. And what's crazy about it is when he's on defense, I never think he looks that fast. You know, he has trouble in coverage keeping up with people, but he looks faster when he's returning kicks. I think the one thing about Lamont is that he is very, very fearless. Like, he has no fear. He's very aggressive as a tackler. He's very aggressive as a returner. His greatest strength is probably his just complete lack of fear. And I think that bodes very well in the return game. I also think, Jim, while we're on it, I thought there were some really positive things from some other young players. Before I forget, I thought Keaton Ellis, you know, made a couple nice plays in the game, which bodes well for next year, especially since Porter was out. I thought Brenton Strange, he looks like he's going to be a weapon, and that the Penn State tight end factory is going to continue marching on. Even Theo Johnson and Warren have done some good things, but Strange looks like he might really be a dude next year.
Definitely. That position, it just seems like you were Gesicki to Freiermuth on and on now. I'm glad you mentioned Theo Johnson also. He looked pretty good too. All right, that is it for quarter number two. Stick around. In quarter number three, we get a chance to ask Ross. Stay tuned.
The 2021 basketball season is here, and to celebrate, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new players 100-1 odds on any featured matchup this week. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up to get 100-1 odds on any featured matchup. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.